So we continue with the Bhakti Vaibhava course. This is first canto Srimad Bhagavatam. We are discussing chapter number 6, entitled Questions by the Sages. The last lecture was given by His Holiness Prahlabhananda Maharaj last Thursday on the second pair of questions. How many questions did the sages ask according to the Acharya's analysis? 6. Let's recap them. Maybe everyone can say one. What is the ultimate good for humanity? Very good. What is the essence of all revealed scriptures? Why did Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, appear? Maharaj lecture on this verse. Okay, very close, then it's what will happen, but exactly, more precisely, that's correct. That's actually the verse written on the board, number 23, is the last of the 6 questions, and it's coming close, but not completely precise. Where did Dharma go? Where did Dharma take shelter after Sri Krishna departed to his own abode? When Krishna departed, every religiousness and knowledge, detachment, everything went with him. So where is Dharma now? Where have the religious principles taking shelter? 2 more. Today is Sri Ram Vijay, the disappearance day of Ravana, not the appearance day. By the mercy of Sri Ramachandra, he conquered Sri Lanka, and that's related to the other two questions, to one of the two questions, which we will read today also. Somebody was? The Lila incarnations. Sutta Goswami, Shaunaka Rishi, on behalf of the sages, asks Sutta, please narrate the incarnations, the Leelas of the Lord. And this we will see today, starting with text 18. And one more, which was mentioned the last day, was the last verse. Maharaj didn't elaborate on it, just read the verse. But we did refer to it 2 weeks ago. Please speak about the activities of the Lord in relation to the material world. And if you look, those of you who have the Bhagavatam at hand with you, will see the last Sanskrit word in text number 17, which was the last Prahlabhananda Maharaj read. Lila Yada Data Kala. Kala refers to incarnations, but particularly to incarnations related to the material world. The Purusha avatars, primarily, and then other incarnations which are also connected to them, such as the Guna avatars and the Manvantara avatars, and so on. So, Kala, please tell us about the Lord acting within the material world. So, let's read text number 18, and this is the 5th question concerned with the Lila avataras. Atakyahi harer diman avatara kata shubha lila vida datas vairam ishvarasyatma Mayaya. Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport. O wise Sutta, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Godhead's multi-incarnations. Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, the Supreme Controller, are performed by his internal powers. Purport. For the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material worlds, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead himself, appears in many thousands of forms of incarnations. And the specific adventures found in those transcendental forms are all auspicious. Both those who are present during such activities and those who hear the transcendental narrations of such activities are benefited. Where does this question is answered? Any of you can think, those of you who have read the first canto or other parts of the Bhagavatam, what would you say if where this question about the incarnations is answered? Krishna's two Bhagavan Svayam in third chapter, correct? Krishna is the source of all incarnations. What else? That's correct, but what else? The whole chapter 3 describes a list of 22 incarnations of the Lord. Different pastimes the Lord is performing. And since today's the glorious victory of Sri Ramachandra, Sri Ram Vichayotsava, we can read as a sample the verse describing Lord Ramachandra in the third chapter of the first canto. Naradevatvamapanna surakarya chikirshaya samudra nigrahadini chakre viryanyatakparam. In the 18th incarnation, the Lord appeared as King Rama in order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods. He exhibited superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean and then killing the atheist King Ravana, who was on the other side of the sea. So we see how the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra are described in connection to the killing of Ravana. The Lord protects his devotees and destroys the asuras. And Srila Prabhupada summarizes in one long paragraph, summarizes the whole Ramayana very wonderfully. The personality of Godhead, Sri Rama, assumed the form of a human being and appeared on the earth for the purpose of doing some pleasing work for the demigods or the administrative personalities to maintain the order of the universe. Sometimes great demons and atheists like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu and many others become very famous due to advancing material civilization by the help of material science and other activities with a spirit of challenging the established order of the Lord. For example, the attempt to fly to other planets by material means is a challenge to the established order. The conditions of each and every planet are different, and different classes of human beings are accommodated there for particular purposes mentioned in the quotes of the Lord. But, puffed up by tiny success in material advancement, sometimes the godless materialist challenged the existence of God. Ravana was one of them, and he wanted to deport ordinary men to the planet of Indra, heaven, by material means without consideration of the necessary qualifications. He wanted a staircase to be built up directly, reaching the heavenly planet, so that people might not be required to undergo the routine of pious work necessary to enter the planet, to enter that planet. He also wanted to perform other acts against the established rule of the Lord. He even challenged the authority of Sri Ram, the personality of Godhead, and kidnapped his wife, Sita. Of course, Lord Ram came to chastise this atheist, answering the prayer and desire of the demigods. He therefore took up the challenge of Ravana, and the complete activity is the subject matter of the Ramayana. Because Lord Ramachandra was the personality of Godhead, he exhibited superhuman activities which no human being, including the materially advanced Ravana, could perform. Lord Ramachandra prepared a royal road on the Indian Ocean with stones that floated on the water. The modern scientists have done research in the area of weightlessness, but it is not possible to bring in weightlessness anywhere and everywhere. But because weightlessness is the creation of the Lord, by which he can make the gigantic planets fly and float in the air, he made the stones, even within this earth, to be weightless, and prepare a stone bridge on the sea without any supporting pillar. That is the display of the power of God. So Ram Lila is one of the examples of the narrations of the multiple incarnations of the Lord found in Srimad Bhagavatam. And today we are celebrating the victory of Lord Ramachandra. The Lord establishes his supreme power, mercy, and his transcendental qualities by his divine activities, completely devoid of the material influence of the modes of nature. And we find in the whole chapter 22, in chapter 3, 22 incarnations are mentioned. Then we find in 7th chapter of the second canto a list of incarnations, about 20 plus are mentioned there. And then throughout the whole Bhagavatam, we find elaborate descriptions of the incarnations of the Lord in detail. And this will be the answer to question 5 posed in verse number 18. Now, text 19 reads, "We never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships with him, relish hearing of his pastimes at every moment. So the sages are expressing their eagerness to listen about the Lord by saying that svadu svadu pade pade, at every step there is transcendental happiness by hearing about Krishna, his transcendental adventures. Text number 20. Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, along with Balaram, played like a human being, and so masked, he performed many superhuman acts. So now he's referring to Sri Krishna and Sri Balaram, who are the source of all incarnations. And Prabhupada refers to the doctrines of anthropomorphism and somorphism, how these doctrines are not applicable to Krishna. Sometimes scholars, mundane scholars, will say that human beings, we create a God according to our experience in this world. And therefore we say that God is human, or God appears like an animal, an animal form, such as Varahadev. But Srila Prabhupada clearly says that actually it's not from our perception to, it is not that we are projecting our perception to God, which we may do, but in relation to the descriptions of scriptures, it's not like that. Actually, we are made at the same image than God. This is also found in the Bible. And the animal species of life also are made according to the image of God. We read in the beginning of this chapter, Janmadi Asya Yataha, how everything emanates from God. The personality of Godhead is the origin of everything that exists. So therefore, he's also the origin of the animals. But what we find in this dimension of existence is a shadow reflection of Krishna's original forms as human beings or as animals. So we do not project, we are not at the center of the universe. The idea of anthropomorphism and somorphism makes us think that we make God at our image, thinking that we are at the center of the universe. But rather, everything is emanating from God. Text 21. And all the sages refer to the age of Kali. Knowing well that the age of Kali has already begun, we are assembled here in this holy place to hear at great length the transcendental message of Godhead, and in this way perform sacrifice. So hearing and chanting about Krishna are the best ways of performing sacrifices in the age of Kali. And the sages taught us by their personal example. Text 22. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. So here the metaphor of a ship is used, and the spiritual master, in this case Sutta Goswami, is compared to the captain of the ship. And the ship in this particular metaphor, sometimes the ship is compared to the human form of life, this human body should be used in order to attain self-realization, to offer devotional service to the Lord. But here the ship is compared to the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can really benefit from the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam, from the right on the ship, if we have a good captain who will guide us. And therefore Srila Prabhupada wrote his Bhaktivedanta Purpose in order to guide us through the study of Srimad Bhagavatam. And now the sixth question written on the board, we can sing it. Bruhi Yogeshvare Krishne, Brahmanye Dharma Varmani, Svam Kastam Maduno Pete, Dharma Kam Sharanam Gataha. Bruhi Yogeshvare Krishne, Brahmanye Dharma Varmani, Svam Kastam Aduno Pete, Dharma Kam Sharanam Gataha. Bruhi Yogeshvare Krishne, Brahmanye Dharma Varmani, Svam Kastam Aduno Pete, Dharma Kam Sharanam Gataha. Vaishnavis, Bruhi Yogeshvare Krishne, Brahmanye Dharma Varmani, Svam Kastam Aduno Pete, Dharma Kam Sharanam Gata. Bruhi Yogeshvare Krishne, Brahmanye Dharma Varmani, Svam Kastam Aduno Pete, Dharma Kam Sharanam Gataha. Since Sri Krishna, the Absolute Truth, the Master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us to whom the religious principles have now gone for shelter. Those of you who have done the reading and looking into the handbook, anyone can remember where the answer is given to that question? It's a very famous verse of the Bhagavatam in the third chapter. than you. So this is the answer, and then the text elaborates a bit more on it. But basically, when Sri Krishna departed and Kali Yuga, the darkness of Kali Yuga took over, then Krishna very mercifully appeared in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore the description is given that Sri Krishna is non-different from, or better said, Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. And regarding to the two middle questions, number third and number four, why did Krishna appear and please narrate or explain the incarnations of the Lord in relation to the material world? The answer is given in chapter 2. Anyone remember where in chapter 2 this is given? Maharaj didn't refer to it in his class. That's why I'm going back, so that we don't miss that point, so you can make the connections. It's in the handbook, but those of you who don't have a handbook and want to take notes, you can do so also. It's at the end of chapter 2. The last verse of chapter 2, number 34, answers to the third question. Why did Krishna appear? And it says that Krishna appeared to give mercy to those who are situated in the mode of goodness, or Srila Prabhupada translates pure goodness. In the verse it's mentioned, Bhava Yati Esha Satvena Lokan Vai Loka Bhavana Lilavatara Nurato Devatirian Naradishu. Thus the Lord of the universes maintains all planets inhabited by demigods, men and lower animals. Assuming the roles of incarnations, he performs pastimes to reclaim those in the mode of pure goodness. So Krishna comes to collect the ripened fruits, like a gardener. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is compared to a gardener, Mali Chaitanya. The Lord has planted the tree of devotional service in Navadvip, and he has distributed the ripened fruit of that tree all over the world with the help of his pure devotees, but with the help of Srila Prabhupada and his servants, and all the Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. But particularly, his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, has been the Senapati Bhakta, as Sureshwar Prabhu very nicely explained in his seminar. The Senapati Bhakta, the commander-in-chief of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, deputed to distribute that ripened fruit all over the world. So as a gardener will cultivate different plants, the Lord is cultivating also not just the plant of devotional service, but also the plant of devotional service within the heart of so many individual souls. So he's cultivating the tree of devotional service for the benefit of the entire universe, but also for the benefit, very specific benefit of each and every individual jiva. Sri Sri Radha Gopinatha Ki Jai. So all the jivas benefit from his personal mercy, and particularly in this description, in this verse, it says that, now referring not just to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but to all the incarnations of the Lord comes to reclaim those who are situated in the mode of goodness. Because unless a jiva becomes situated in the mode of goodness, will not be able to recognize the process of pure goodness or the process of devotional service. And this is the purpose why the Lord descends to the material world. Sometimes we hear, like today is the day when Ravana was killed. So, paritanaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam. Vinashaya chaduskritam. The Lord kills the asuras. But the Lord comes to, actually he comes to protect his devotees, Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita, in the section describing the avataras, yada yada hi dharmasya paritanaya sadunam, etc. Prabhupada explains that actually Krishna comes to protect his devotees rather than to kill the asuras, because he can kill the asuras through the agency of his material energy. He doesn't have to do it personally. But in order to rescue those souls situated in the mode of goodness, the Lord comes. And he does that not just when he comes in those that he meets, those souls who are ready, he gives them mercy, and he extends himself even beyond those situated in the mode of goodness by liberating the asuras that he kills. But he does so also by what's the English word? Eternalizing, making eternal his, what will be the good word for that? Making, perpetuating his pastimes through the narratives of Srimad Bhagavatam, or by the narrations of his pastimes as sung by his pure devotees. And that's Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the people who are situated in the mode of goodness, when they listen to the pastimes of the Lord, they feel attracted. And they become liberated. That's the how the Lord manifests his, how the Lord reclaims the soul situated in the mode of goodness. And then the questions related to the Purusha avataras are answered in just the previous verses to text 34 of chapter 2nd, starting with text 30, so 30 through 33. And the Purusha avataras are described in this way. In the beginning of the material creation, that absolute personality of Godhead, Vasudev, in his transcendental position, created the energies of cause and effect by his own internal energy. So this verse is actually describing Mahavishnu, the Vasudev, the all-pervading Lord, who is the origin, he's the father of all living beings, of all the jivas. And therefore he manifests, it mentions here, created the energies of cause and effect by his own internal energy. So these are the jivas, also the material energy, the Mahatattva, and he impregnates the Mahatattva through his glands with the jivas who are situated within his transcendental body from the previous creation. When there was the annihilation at the end of the annihilation of the universes, the jivas were resting in a state of susupti and non-manifested kind of unmanifested state, sleeping within the body of Mahavishnu, and the Lord impregnates the material energy with his glands by looking at it. Then text 31 describes how the Lord enters into the universe in the form of Garbhodakashayi Vishnu. After creating the material substance, the Lord Vasudev expands himself and enters into it. And although he is within the material modes of nature and appears to be one of the created beings, he is always fully enlightened in his transcendental position. He enters into every universe, and we could compare his transcendental body to another living being. For example, in the second canto, Narada Muni asks Lord Brahma, what is the difference between your body is very is gigantic, and the body of Vishnu? What is the difference? So the difference is explained here, that he's situated in his transcendental position. God is always God, whether he has an enormous body or he has the body of a dwarf, like Vamanadev. Whether he originates innumerable universes with his breath, by exhaling many universes are manifested, and when he inhales, all the universes enter into his transcendental body, he's very big, or whether he enters into every atom of creation, into every jiva. And all the universes are contained within the heart of the jiva, according to Srila Jiva Goswami's commentary in Brahma Samhita. When the Lord enters into the heart of the jiva, because he's the same Lord, all the universes are contained within the heart of the jiva, because there is no difference between the Mahavishnu and the Kshirodakashayi Vishnu, or the Paramatma, within every atom of creation. And this is, we could say, this is mind-blowing, isn't it? We enter into the atom, and then we encounter universes within the atom. I didn't read much on that, but some devotees told me that some quantum physicists, thank you, they are saying this. They are already having an intuition that this may be the case. When we enter into the atom, we find something very big. So this is the inconceivable potency of the personality of Godhead. And the verses 32 and 33 of second chapter describe that minute Lord within the heart of every living being, within every atom of creation. The Lord, a super soul, pervades all things, just as fire permeates wood, and so he appears to be of many varieties. Though he is the absolute one without a second, the super soul enters into the bodies of the created beings who are influenced by the modes of material nature and causes them to enjoy the effects of these modes by the subtle mind. So basically, in a nutshell, we have covered during the last lectures, the six questions of the sages, and very briefly, the answers given by Sutta Goswami to the sages. Let's recap. Now, question one. What is the ultimate good for humanity? In Sanskrit, the ultimate good is known as Shreyas. Shreyas as opposed to Preyas, which is immediate benefit. Immediate benefit means money, health, material pleasure, etc. An ultimate good is what satisfies the self. And the answer to that question is found in, it was mentioned last week during the lecture, at the end, not in detail, but the verse was quoted. Very famous verse from the second chapter. Yes, please. Yato bhakti radoksha ye haitukiya pratihata jayatma suprasidati. And also verse 7 is an explanation of, further explanation of verse 6. The meaning is that the supreme occupation for the living being is pure devotional service. And pure devotional service, in order to be truly pure, to be real, like yesterday we discussed, the truthfulness, honesty, the complete real truthfulness must reach to the bottom, to the satya, to the sat, to the eternal self. Otherwise, it is not truthfulness. Just saying the facts of the material existence precisely is not complete truthfulness. We need to refer to the self, to the soul, and to the relationship, the eternal relationship of the soul with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Soul. And that, this is a supreme engagement. Devotional service should be ahaitukiya pratihata, should be unmotivated and uninterrupted. That is selfless and continuous, without a stop. Should abhyavicharini bhakti, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. Mamchayo abhyavicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati tyaitam brahma bhujaya kalpate. Abhyavicharini bhakti means devotional service without diminishing, without interruption, continuous. And that devotional service completely satisfies the self, and therefore is the ultimate welfare. And that devotional service produces, in text 7, naturally produces Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Chana Yati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahaitukam. Naturally produces knowledge and detachment. We don't need to search for knowledge separately, but knowledge becomes revealed within the heart of the person who engages in such pure devotional service. For example, Srila Gaura Kishora Das Babaji Maharaj, he was known as being illiterate, but he had all transcendental revelation was known to him. Many times we find such examples in Vaishnavacharyas. And detachment becomes manifest also very naturally. For example, Bharata Maharaj, he was the emperor of the world, but he became detached from everything as a person becomes detached of when going to take care of the body, to the toilet. We become naturally detached. we don't have to make a separate endeavor, but we are very happy to get rid of all the substances that we don't need anymore in the body. So by devotional service, naturally detachment develops within the heart of the devotee. We don't need to cultivate it separately. If we do cultivate detachment, it should be as part of the process of serving Krishna. It's part of the process of devotional service. Question 2. What is the essence of all scriptures, Saram? And the answer is... devotional service. The same answer for the first question applies to the second question. Perhaps with more elaboration later on throughout the chapter, throughout the second chapter. But basically these two verses are answering. The essence of all scriptures is pure devotional service, which produces knowledge and detachment. Otherwise, whatever knowledge is attained through the study of a scripture will not help the person, but will be a waste of time, as tomorrow we will read further on that. The third question. Lila Vataras, okay, in the order will come later, but that's one of the questions. That will be the fifth question. We read it today, text number 18. And where it is answered, that question that was mentioned today. Sorry if it's a bit technical, but we want to help memorization also of these important facts, transcendental facts. In the third chapter, the incarnations are described. Also in seventh chapter of second canto, and also throughout the Bhagavatam. Another question, number 3, we did 1, 2, and 5th, or you can say 4, 3, 4, or 6. Why did Sri Krishna appear? Why did he appear? To give mercy to those situated in the mode of pure goodness or goodness, to reclaim his devotees from this material world. Like a father will jump into the swimming pool. Imagine a multimillionaire. His little child is drowning in the swimming pool. Even if he has many servants who jumped to save the child, he won't be waiting for them to rescue him, but he will jump himself to rescue the child. So similarly, the Lord jumps to rescue his pure devotees from the sufferings of material existence, as we see in the picture, the Lord coming to rescue the devotee who is in the ocean. Personally comes. Another question, 2 more questions to recap. It's not Kala time, but the Sanskrit word is Kala, which means expansions of the Lord. It seems the same word, but it's not. I'm not a Sanskritist, but if you look at the accents, you will see how the expansions of the Lord, the Purusha Avataras. And the answer is found in we read it today. Chapter 2, very good, at the end. And we read those technical verses, how the Lord manifests material energy as Mahavishnu enters into material energy as Garbhoda Kachaji Vishnu and enters into every soul, into every atom as Kshiroda Kachaji Vishnu, as the Paramatma. And the last question written on the board. Very good. Where did Dharma go when Krishna departed, when Krishna closed his pastimes in this material world? Where those the religious principles, and this is not just mundane Dharma, because the Bhagavatam, remember that the Bhagavatam rejected Kaitava Dharma, material Dharma, since the very beginning. And tomorrow we will discuss further this in the next section, beginning section of chapter 2. Kaitava Dharma was rejected, therefore the Lord comes to protect Sanatana Dharma, pure devotional service. And when that Sanatana Dharma left together with the Lord came in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, as explained in chapter 3 in the verse quoted by Sureshwar Prabhu. It is time to end. This section can be a bit technical if you like kind of the questions and the answers, but it's good to study and to assimilate, to reflect, understand, and then apply. And this afternoon, those of you who want to go deeper into this section and the beginning of tomorrow's section, we will have a workshop from 6 to 7 here in the temple room. Everyone is invited, and we'll do some group work. There will be some personal reflections and group work, how to apply it. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, please write them down, and in the afternoon you can ask them, because we don't want to disobey the temple management and being punctual. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.